You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 33. Welcome to the English Cafe, episode 33. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. A podcast learning guide for today's podcast with a complete transcript, vocabulary definitions, cultural information, tips on learning English, and much more is available at our website. Go to ESLPOD.com and click on Learning Guides for more information. This is an all-new service we started this week, and we think you'll really enjoy it. In today's learning guide, for example, we have tips on improving your writing in English, which you won't want to miss. Go to our website to sign up for our learning guide service today. You'll also want to go and look at our all-new website design. Adriano Galeno, originally from Brazil, but now living in Canada, is a web designer who has worked with us to create a great new website. So thank you, Adriano, for all your work over the past few months. Adriano has really done a great job. Please go to ESLpod.com and take a look at his excellent work. On today's cafe, we're going to talk about high school musicals and why they are such a big part of high school culture in the United States. We'll talk a little bit about a survey asking what women look for in men. That should be interesting. And as usual, we'll answer some questions. Let's get started. We're going to start today talking about a very popular institution in schools called a high school musical. Now, a musical, M-U-S-I-C-A-L, you probably know is a play where people sing. And in American high schools, almost every high school, public or private, they put on or they perform a musical every year, usually in the spring time, usually in April or May. So this time of year is when you can go watch a high school musical. Now, most high schools have some sort of drama club or theater club. Drama, D-R-A-M-A, of course, is connected to acting and to the theater. And high schools will perform these musicals by getting students to play the parts, to play the characters in the musical, and to do the singing. And this is a very popular event. It is usually a play, a musical, that is popular or has been popular. So these aren't original plays. These are famous musicals. Most of them were Broadway musicals or plays, musicals that were originally in New York City. Broadway, of course, is the street in New York City where all the big theaters are. And so if someone says this is a Broadway musical, they mean that it originally was a play on Broadway. We also call these hit musicals. And a hit, H-I-T, is a very popular, could be anything, a play, a book, a musical. We call it a hit musical. Well, there are lots of different popular musicals that you can go to at these high school performances. Most of them are given for three or four times. So they have the same play three or four times, usually in the same weekend. And they cost probably, I don't know, it's been a while for me, $10, $15. When I was in high school, I was part of the high school musical, I think every year, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. It's been a few years, so I have to think. But I participated in the high school musical. Unfortunately, I can't sing, and I can't act, and I have no other talent, really, no other abilities. So when I signed up for the high school musical, when I was a freshman, they made me part of the lighting crew. The crew, C-R-E-W, are the people who are not on stage, the people who are doing the work with the lights and setting up the stage and painting the what we would call the backdrop, B-A-C-K-D-R-O-P. That's what you see behind the actors and actresses, the singers. We also call these the set, S-E-T. The set is everything on the stage except the actors. Well, I was part of the lighting crew, so I was responsible for turning the lights on and off. Usually in a theater, when you are changing between different parts of the play, different scenes, S-C-E-N-E, a scene is a part of a play, you would dim the lights. And to dim, D-I-M, means to lower the lights, to make it dark. And that was my big responsibility. I couldn't sing, I couldn't act, but I could turn the light switch on and off. So you know that I have a great future in the theater, I think. Well, the people who play in the musical, the people who play the characters, who sing, are called the cast, C-A-S-T. The cast are the people who are actually singing and acting. I was not in the cast. I was in the crew, the people who do all the other work. The reason that high schools have these musicals, well, a couple of reasons, I think. One is it's a fun experience for the students to do these musicals. Another is to make money for the school. These are, in other words, what we would call fundraisers. A fundraiser, F-U-N-D-R-A-I-S-E-R, all one word. A fundraiser is an event, something you do in order to get more money for your organization or for your school. And of course, even public schools here in the United States have to get money from people in order to have a good quality program. The government doesn't give enough money to the schools for everything. And so the schools have to have fundraisers. The verb, by the way, is to fundraise. And these musicals are part of the fundraising efforts, the fundraising plans of the school. They need that money, and so they charge $10 or $15, maybe $20 per person. And of course, the parents of the students who are in the play and the family will all want to go see them. And so usually it's a very popular event. The play usually begins rehearsing several months before the play. To rehearse, R-E-H-E-A-R-S-E, is when you are practicing. So if you are practicing, you come to school maybe every other day and after school you have what's called a rehearsal, R-E-H-E-A-R-S-A-L, and that is when you rehearse, when you practice for the play. Some of the popular plays from my youth, from when I was in school, and still popular, Grease, which was also a movie with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John back in the 70s. Grease, G-R-E-A-S-E, is a very popular musical in high schools. It's about kids in high school in the 1950s in the United States. The Sound of Music, which was a musical, again, a movie as well as a musical. The Sound of Music was a movie with Julie Andrews. The hills are alive with the sound of music. You see why I'm not in a musical? Oliver is another popular musical. This is based on the Charles Dickens novel. Bye Bye Birdie. A birdie, B-I-R-D-I-E, is a word for a small bird in this case. Bye Bye Birdie was also a popular musical. And Hello Dolly. Hello Dolly, D-O-L-L-Y. Dolly is a name of a woman. And again, that was a famous movie, which many high schools like to perform as well. So that's a little information about high school musicals and how important they are in high school culture here in the U.S. The other topic for today is what women look for in men. It's always interesting to find different surveys, different polls, P-O-L-L, a survey when you ask people their opinion. And sometimes these are about political topics or social topics. And I found one today. Actually, Lucy found this poll where they asked women what they look for in a man, what a woman, American woman, wants in a man. Now, if you are a man listening to this podcast, you have no idea, probably, what a woman wants. I know I don't. And if you are a woman, you know that many men are what we would call clueless. To be clueless, C-L-U-E-L-E-S-S, means that you don't have a clue. You don't have any idea. You are ignorant about this. This is a popular word among younger speakers, kind of a slang. There was actually a movie called Clueless in English about high school girls. Well, most men, I think, are clueless when it comes to or in the matter of what women look for. So I'll just read these. I think they're kind of interesting. I'll start from the bottom. Reason number 9. They want, a woman wants a man who is a good listener. A good listener, someone who will listen to them. And of course, if you have a girlfriend or a wife or are in a romantic relationship, you should know that you need to listen to your female partner. Number 8 is they want a man who shows love, who is loving to them. That makes sense. Number 7, they want a man who is not critical. To be critical, C-R-I-T-I-C-A-L, means that you are always finding something wrong with the other person, something you don't like. You are telling them things that are wrong with them. Well, that's what you should not do. Women want men who are not going to criticize them. The verb, of course, criticize, from means being critical. We use that word critical in a couple of different ways. We can also say something is critical meaning it's very important. This is a critical mission. This is a critical procedure. Means it's very important. But here it means to criticize, to say something negative about someone else. Reason number six is they want a man, women want a man who is confident but not overbearing. To be confident, of course, means that you know what you can do and show other people that you are able to do something and that you believe you are able to do something. We might say you believe in yourself, you believe in your own abilities. But to be overbearing, all one word, O-V-E-R-B-E-A-R-I-N-G, to be overbearing means that you are too confident and that you perhaps are, the expression we might use is coming on too strong, so that you tell everyone how great you are, or you tell everyone how wonderful they are, and you your confidence makes you a little arrogant. To be arrogant, A-R-R-O-G-A-N-T, means that you think you are better than other people, and so that's part of being overbearing. So women want a man who is confident but not too confident, not overbearing. Number five, they want a man who is gentle, G-E-N-T-L-E. And here gentle means that it's sort of the opposite of rough, R-O-U-G-H. Gentle is the opposite of rough. Gentle would be someone who is kind, someone who says nice things about other people, someone who thinks about their spouse or their girlfriend, that's someone who would be gentle. Reason number four, a woman wants a man who wants to please her. To please as a verb, P-L-E-A-S-E, to please someone means to make them happy, to do what they want to do. So you say to your wife, honey, what would you like to do tonight? Where would you like to eat? I want to make you happy. See, I do that all the time. Just ask my wife. I hope she would say the same. a man who wants to please her. Reason number three, a man who will treat them kindly. And to treat, T-R-E-A-T, someone, means to behave towards them, to act towards them in a nice way. I'm going to treat you kindly or nicely. Of course, you can also treat someone badly, which means you're mean to them and you say negative things to them. And that's a good way to be single the rest of your life. Number two, women want a man who respects their opinions. To respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, which was also a famous song, to respect someone means that you consider them intelligent, you are open to their ideas, you think that they're a good person. If you respect someone's ideas or someone's opinions, means you take them seriously. You listen to them and you think that they are at least intelligent opinions. The number one thing that women look for in men, according to this survey, was they want a man who will talk with them, who will talk with them, who will have conversations with them. And isn't that, of course, what most of us want from life? Well, so now if you're a man, you know exactly what you need to do to go and get the woman of your dreams. So you can just thank me when that happens. Now let's answer a few questions. Our first question today comes from Rayang, R-A-Y-A-N-G, and Rayang is in China. And the question is, what the expression to drive your point home means. What does it mean to drive, D-R-I-V-E, your point, P-O-I-N-T, home? Well, this is a common expression. First of all, let's start with a point. When we say, what is your point, or to drive your point home, it means your idea, your concept, what your opinion, what you are thinking. To drive your point home means to say your ideas, to say your opinions, to argue for your opinions, or to argue for your ideas. So usually it's when you are presenting evidence, giving people reasons why they should believe what you are saying or why they should agree with you. That's something that you might do, for example, in a debate. In a debate, D-E-B-A-T-E, when you have a discussion with someone and you disagree with the other person, you try to persuade them, right? Get them to think what you think. And you do that by giving them good reasons. So when you are really arguing very strongly for your opinion, we use this expression, you are trying to drive your point home. Give people a reason to believe you. So thank you, Riang, for that question. Quan from Vietnam has a couple of questions. The first one is the expression to call the shots. To call, C-A-L-L, the shots, S-H-O-T-S. What does that mean? Well, it usually means to decide something, to be in charge, to be the boss, to be the person who is making the important decisions. Who's calling the shots here means who's in charge, who's the leader, who's the person making the decision. In any good marriage, you have the woman who calls the shots. That's the formula. That's the key to a successful marriage, is when the woman calls the shots. Remember that, men. Now, another expression, and we can use that expression, by the way, to call the shots, for usually for business purposes. We say, Mr. Johnson is calling the shots, or Ms. Smith is calling the shots. That means they're the person in charge. It's a little informal, but you'll hear it a lot when people are talking about organizations and businesses. Another question Quan had to do with the word pilot, P-I-L-O-T, in the expression a pilot TV show, or this television show is a pilot. This program is a pilot. A pilot is usually the first show of a new season. And what happens here in Los Angeles, most of the television shows are made here in Los Angeles. What happens is there are different companies, and these are called production companies. These are companies that make movies and make television shows. And there are dozens, maybe hundreds of these production companies. And what they do is they write a script, right? They write a program, a television program, and they get some actors and they film it. And then what they'll often do is they'll give it to the big television stations and say, do you like this? And if they say yes, we want more of this show, then they'll go and they'll make more of that television show. But they usually film, or they usually make one show first to see if someone's going to buy it, essentially, if one of the television stations is interested. And this is called the pilot. And usually when They have a new television show. The first show is the pilot. It's the first attempt. It's the first show in the series. And sometimes the pilot is longer than the normal show. It might be an hour and a half instead of 1 hour, or an hour instead of a half hour. So that's what we mean by pilot TV. Of course, the word pilot, P-I-L-O-T, is also the word we use for the person who flies the airplane. That person is the pilot. But here it means something very different. It means the first show of a television series. One more question from Quan, and that was the meaning of the phrase debt-ridden. D-E-P-T hyphen R-I-D-D-E-N. What does it mean to be debt-ridden? Well, to be debt-ridden means that you have a lot of debt. And what is debt? Debt is when you owe other people money. So if you buy a big house and you get a big loan to buy your house, you now have a debt. It's a debt to the bank. The bank gave you the money. To be debt-ridden means you have a lot of debt. You have too much debt. You have too much money. So much money that you can't pay it back. That's to be debt-ridden. Thank you, Quan, for those questions. Daniel, over in Slovakia, has a question about the expression in charge. What does it mean to be in charge? I-N-C-H-A-R-G-E, two words. Well, to be in charge means to be the boss, means to be the person who is the leader, the person who is making the decisions. Another question Daniel had was on the expression on behalf. What does it mean to say, I am doing this on behalf of John, or on behalf of my brother? Well, this expression means I'm doing it usually either for that person or in place of that person. That's one possible meaning. So I am here on behalf of my company means my company sent me to represent them. And so usually it has that idea of you are representing. You are the person who is bringing that message to the people you are talking to. Sometimes it can just mean for. I'm doing this on behalf of my friend. I'm doing it for my friend's benefit. I'm trying to do something good for my friend. That's another use of the expression on behalf. So thank you, Daniel, for that question. That's all we have time for today on the English Cafe. As usual, we ask you to visit our website at www.eslpod.com, where you can get more information about this podcast and find out about the other things that we offer connected to this podcast. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll see you next time on the English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.